Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Sisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Hari Vidyacharya Ashto Tadipati Sri Shriman Mr. Vangra Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Shri Prabhupada Mananta Bodhi Vaishnava Vrinda Kita Iskandhi Sri Founder Charya Shri Prabhupada Kita Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Kita Iskandhi Guru Vrinda Kita Prem Sabaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasana Guru Bhakti Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Prabhupada Shri Govardhana Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai Shri Raipur Dhamma Ki Jai Anandpuri Dhamma Ki Jai Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Maya Ki Jai Sankirtan Jagna Ki Jai Mahamadanga Chaitanya Prabhu Distribution Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Hari Kabiriti Ki Jai Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai The Transcendental Lordships Shri Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radhamadava Ki Jai, Shri Prahlad Nishimadeva Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Lord Premanande, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru Emperor. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the fourth canto, chapter 8. Chapter is entitled Guru Maharaj Leaves Home. Text 44. Gananyamina Vivita Gananindriya Manaha Malam Shanai Yudasha Abhidyaya Manasa Guruna Gurum.
Or none? Okay.
Ganayamina Trivita Ganindriya Manomalam Shanaya Vyudasya Vidyaye Manasa Guruna Gurum Ganayamina Trivritta Ganindriya Manomalam Shanaya Vyudasya Vidyayan Manasa Guruna Gurum Pranayamena Trivritta Pranindriya Manomalam Shanaya Vyudasya Vidyayan Manasa Guru Na Guru.
Please chant.
Thank you.
Advantages? Pranayamina, by breathing exercises, Trivrita, by the three recommended ways, Pranaindriya, the life air in the senses, Mana, mind, Malam, impurity, Shanai, gradually, Yudasya, giving up, Abhidayat, meditate upon, Manasa, by the mind, Guruna, undisturbed, Gurum, the Supreme Spiritual Master, Krishna. Translation and purport, or translation of Srila Prabhupada. After sitting on your seat, practice the three kinds of breathing exercises and thus gradually control the life air, the mind, and the senses. Completely free yourself from all material contamination and, with great patience, begin to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In this verse, the entire yoga system is described in summary, and special stress is given to the breathing exercises for stopping the disturbing mind. The mind by nature is always oscillating, for it is very fickle. For the breathing exercise is meant to control it. This process of controlling the mind might have been very possible in those days, millions of years ago, when Dhruva Maharaj took to it. But the present mind, at the present moment, the mind has to be fixed directly on the lotus feet of the Lord by the chanting process. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one immediately concentrates on the sound vibration and thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. And very quickly one is elevated to the position of samadhi, or trance. If one goes on chanting the holy names of the Lord, which are not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally his mind becomes absorbed in thoughts, in thought of the Lord. It is here recommended to Dhruva Maharaj that he meditate upon the Supreme Guru, or Supreme Spiritual Master. The Supreme Spiritual Master is Krishna, who is therefore known as Chaita Guru. This refers to the Super Soul who is sitting in everyone's heart. He helps from within, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. And he sends the Spiritual Master who helps from without. The Spiritual Master is the external manifestation of Chaitya Guru, or the Spiritual Master, is sitting in everyone's heart. The process by which we give up our thoughts of material things is called Pratyahara, which entails being free from all material thoughts and engagements. The word abhidyaja, which is used in this verse, indicates that unless one's mind is fixed, one cannot meditate. The conclusion, therefore, is that meditation means thinking of the Lord within. Whether one comes to that stage by the Astanga Yoga system or by the method recommended in the Shastras, especially for this present age, to constantly chant the holy name of the Lord, the goal is to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kanayamena tri vritta kanendriya manomalam shanayar yudash yabhidyayin manasa guruna guru. After sitting on your seat, practice the three kinds of breathing exercises and thus gradually control the life air, the mind, and the senses. Completely free yourself from all material contamination, and with great patience, begin to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agnate Manandisha Gananjana Shilapaya Chakshu Unmitam Dina Taishmai Shikadeva. Have any of you in this room practiced Astanga Yoga to some extent? A fairly common thing in India. Anybody here? Were you able to experience Super Soul quite dramatically? Really? Wow. Pretty unusual for Kali Yuga. There's a part of a verse in the Madhyalila, it's in Adi Lila, in a verse in Adi Lila, and also a verse in Madhyalila, chapter 24. And it begins Ajagala Stana Nyaya. And it refers to the nipples on the neck of a goat. And I went on Parikrama yesterday. There's something called the Pancha Cross Parikrama. What does that mean? Does anybody know? Pancha Cross, it's on the sign, you know, when you come, you go to Jagannath Mandir and then come back around to Tirunpur. It says, there's a sign when you come onto the in Bamanpakur under the highway, come to the back way, and it says Pancha Cross Parikrama, and there's an arrow. That's the only signage I've ever seen, first time I've ever seen that. Anybody know what that means? Is it a hybrid between Sanskrit and English or something? Pancha is obvious, but cross? No one knows, huh? Many? It's spelled on the sign CRSS. And you're saying Pancha? Coat. Pancha coat. What does it mean? It's a distance. Because there's many differences of opinion of how long that Parikrama is. Some say 21, some 17. My guess it's about 14 kilometers, based upon the time it took me to do it. Anyway, I was noticing the goats, and there must be a special breed of goat that has nipples on its neck. But these goats, the male or female, I couldn't notice any nipples. But apparently, this is an analogy that's given in Shastra, in the Madhyalila, to indicate that other processes other than bhakti don't bear any fruit. And just like you can't get milk from the nipples on the goat, there's another place on the goat's body where you get the milk, but not and the nipples and the neck. But I couldn't, I looked at many goats, you know, going through Brahman Pakur, you know, on the road to the Jagannath Mandir. There were many goats there, but none of them had nipples on their neck. So anyway, if anybody's seen nipples on a goat's neck, please let me know about it. So that will be a little more clear to me, that particular analogy. So generally speaking, in Kali Yuga, the Astanga Yoga process doesn't produce much positive result. There's exceptions to the rule. There's a description in the fifth chapter of the 11th canto subsequent to the famous Krishna Varnam Tushar Krishnam Sango Pangashta Parshadam Jagnani Sankirtana Prayer Vijantihi Samedasa verse, which describes how intelligent people in Kali Yuga worship the incarnation of Krishna, who constantly chants the name of Krishna. And although his complexion is not blackish, he's Krishna himself. And he's accompanied by his associates, confidential servants, and weapons. So after that, there's a description of how great personalities worship Kali Yuga, because the Yuga Dharma is very, very powerful. And describes how in Satya Yuga the people are so incredibly qualified that they wouldn't be satisfied with the Yuga Dharma that simply involves vibrating the Lord's name with the tongue. They need extremely complex yoga asanas, very arduous breathing exercises, and also they got to do it for a prolonged period of time. Mataji, how long did you practice Astanga Yoga? 8 years. Wow, pretty remarkable for Kali Yuga. To achieve perfection in Satya Yuga is 60,000 years. So you got a good start, but you had a long ways to go. The bona fide spiritual master, actually this, we can kind of give a perspective upon which this Prabhupada unpacks the purport. There's a focus, you know, because of the determination that Dhruva Maharaj demonstrated in going to the forest and trying his best to take shelter of the Lord, Narada Muni became aware of the sincerity, so he came to give him instruction. And what role does the spiritual master play in a sincere seeker of spiritual knowledge and a sincere devotee trying to escape from the clutches of the material energy and reestablish his relationship with the Supreme Lord? There's a verse from the 11th canto that comes to mind in the second chapter. Bayam duti yabi niveshata shad shari te epasham ishari petasha vipariyo shmiti tanmayato buddha abhijetam bhaktiayaka yesham guru deva tatma. So fear overcomes the living entity when he misidentifies his body as himself. And this illusion is pushed by the external energy of the Lord. And in this illusion condition, one goes through a role reversal. Rather than seeing himself as a servant of Krishna, one somehow or other gets into a situation where he becomes a competitor to the Lord. Then when one comes to understand this, this illusory condition he's fallen in, then he should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and accept him as his worshipable deity and in his very as his very life and soul. So this is the relationship between the sincere devotee and the spiritual master. And as we see in the case of Arjuna and the battle of Kurukshetra, he became very bewildered. He was in a very difficult circumstance. So actually the whole theme of the Bhagavad Gita is to dispel this illusion which is based upon bodily consciousness and come to the self-realized state of recognizing that I'm not my body, that I'm spirit soul, and then going beyond that, that I am eternal servant of Krishna, that I'm, you know, I have a particular relationship with Krishna, and then to enter into that relationship and leave behind, you know, all this bodily consciousness. So this is the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master. And the spiritual master has an expertise of understanding, or a bona fide spiritual master should have the expertise of understanding the attitude of the disciple, his propensities, and engage him in such a way that his attitudinal situation improves so that he's not thinking himself the competitor of the Supreme Lord anymore. And gradually that dissipates. You know, this that I'm the master of the world, and that instead he takes the humble position as a servant and engages him in activities to further that end. So this is the what the spiritual master does. Now, I mentioned, you know, in the 11th canto, 5th chapter, that after the Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam verse, there's a discussion about how the inhabitants in Satyuga are so qualified that they wouldn't be satisfied with the Yuga Dharma and Satyuga, but these same Satyuga inhabitants actually aspire to take birth in Kali Yuga because the Yuga Dharma is so powerful that it very, and you know, there's another aspect of the power of this Yuga Dharma, that people are so incredibly sinful that there is just one catastrophe after another in Kali Yuga inhabitants' lives. So they suffer horribly. There's a very intense suffering in Kali Yuga. There's world war, there's these intense diseases, AIDS. I mean, there's countries in Africa where half of the population is HIV positive. I mean, I think there's several countries in that category. And then there's cancer. And so this suffering is incredibly intense. So, but then the Yuga Dharma is there. And so people, because of the level of suffering, they're forced to take shelter of the holy name, and they're in a very helpless condition. So that helpless condition is very, very quintessential to rapid spiritual advancement. When someone's helpless and they can cry to the holy name, they can take deep shelter of this process. And by doing that, they come to the highest levels of God realization. You know, they can enter Madhurya Ras, which is what's emphasized by Acharya Sanat Sampradaya. And then we contrast that with the Yuga Dharma and Satya Yuga of Astanga Yoga. And their people, they're practically sinless. You know, so they don't get into these heavy distress circumstances. And so they don't have this feeling of helplessness. They're very, you know, they're pretty much in control of the process that's given to them. But they get a very, very intense process. So here you've got Dhruva Maharaj, extremely qualified. It's like Prabhupada says, you know, in his lectures and the purporting, when Krishna is presenting Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga, to Arjuna. And then Arjuna, he just rejects this. He says, this is too much. You know, my mind is just too uncontrollable to focus like this. And Prabhupada says, if Arjuna couldn't do it, then what to speak of us in Kali Yuga? So the point is that Krishna, you know, according to the age, prescribes a certain process, a certain Yuga Dharma, which is fitting for those jivas that are aspiring for spiritual advancement in that age. But then the spiritual master also, he takes a special interest and takes special note of the qualifications, the adhikar of a disciple, and then prescribes accordingly. Just like when Arjuna took shelter of Krishna, Kapanya Dosho Pahata Subhava Pujamitam Dharma Samudha Chita Yakshreya Shan Nistidam Pruvi Tanme Shashas Shashashe Shashas Shashashate Aham. Okay, here we go, back to Shastri teacher bailing me out. So he's confused about his duty. So this is not unusual in Kali Yuga. Prabhupada in purport describes how life is filled with perplexities. So at that time, when we're in a perplexed circumstance, that means, the way that it's meant in this context, is that we can't solve the problems on our own. This is when we need to take shelter of the spiritual master. So then the spiritual master is expert at determining the adhikar of the disciple. So Krishna, I'm trying to think of the verse, maybe Mataji, you can bail me out on this one again. But Krishna, he indicates that you don't have the adhikar, you have the adhikar to perform karma yoga. You don't have the adhikar for jnana yoga. What's that verse? Kamani Varikara ste. Yeah, Mahaleshu Kadachan Makarma Fala Hetu Bur Mate Sangusta Karmani. So you have the right to perform your prescribed duties. So the adhikar, Kamani Varikar, adhikar. So this is the role of the guru, you know, is to determine the adhikar. So, you know, and then he prescribes different things, different procedures that the disciples should take up. Now, it's pretty noteworthy that first, Narada Muni prescribes Astanga Yoga, you know, the pranayama. But then, he prescribes that you chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, which goes a little bit outside of what we usually understand as the Astanga Yoga process. Because this is a, you know, japa meditation, and then he prescribes that you worship the deity form of the Lord. So, there seems like there's some, you know, Prabhupada describes in the 72nd text purport of this chapter, that according to time, place, and circumstances and existing conveniences, spiritual master makes prescriptions for the disciple of how to engage. So, first of all, you could understand Dhruva Maharaj's incredible determination. He's already demonstrated that. At the age of 5, he's going to the forest. And, trying to do something. I'm not exactly sure what he did. But then Narada Muni comes and gives him very specific directions of how he can experience advancement. And then Dhruva Maharaj takes him up. You know, he does some pretty incredible things. For the first month, he eats fruits and berries every third day. Now, I know a devotee that for 9 months only drank fruit juices. He does it every year. It's pretty, not exactly on the level of Dhruva Maharaj, but pretty remarkable. And then the second month, he ate dry grass and leaves every sixth day. Now that's just the beginning. And then in the third month, he drank water every ninth day. And then in the fourth month, he inhaled once every 12 days. Mataji, you didn't get that far with your Astanga yoga, I don't think. You tried. Well, that's what counts, you know, in approaching the Lord. He looks at the attitude of the devotee. Were you successful? I mean, did you get there? You got there? I mean, you inhaled once every 12 days? Can you still do it? So let me ask you a personal question. Why did you become a Hare Krishna devotee? You realize there was a limit and there was something way beyond that, right? Well, that's what's supposed to happen in the yoga ladder. I think you're the first person I've ever met that's actually gotten to that point with Astanga yoga. Congratulations. Where's the microphone when we need him the most? Prabhu, you should know that by now that I do this in every class. So, anyway. You have that microphone ready. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. Can
you
hear?
You switched on?
When you said before, did we realize Paramatma? It's not that we saw Mahavishnu in front of us like the Dhruva Maharaj, but on practice.
So Lord Vishnu didn't come to you and touch you on the head with a conch.
But on practicing different levels of meditation, you get different levels of realization in those fields, no? So by realizing certain things, sometimes you get some illumination all of a sudden. You may not be able to maintain it in the long term, but it comes. And,
right.
And that the flavor of that remains in your inner consciousness. You may not maintain, but you remember what you went through, what you experienced. So in those level of realizations, I could understand that there was something missing. Every time there was something missing, I was experiencing some limitation. I could see that there was, but I haven't.
So what did you do? Did you pray?
I prayed.
And then what happened?
I prayed that to the Lord that please you reveal to me, I am not you. Because
okay, so what happened? Did something happen that changed things?
He gave through Paramatma inner realization.
Yeah, but
that,
I'm looking for something else.
That you're not humble enough. And for many lifetimes.
Did you meet any devotees by chance?
What is it?
Did you meet any devotees?
No, that was before meeting the devotees.
No, but what I'm saying, when you started praying, you shifted from Ashtanga yoga into Bhakti yoga, more than likely, because you came into the association of devotees, correct?
No.
This class is full of surprises.
First, Lord revealed some visions about the message of Bhagavad Gita and certain philosophy like the three gunas, the presence of the soul in a living entity, and how the body becomes uncomposed and you can see the soul.
So you got a Bhagavad Gita?
I could see things. I could see like a seagull flying, and suddenly I could see his feathers falling and the subtle body, and then...
I can't quite hear everything you're saying, but...
Not visions, through meditation.
It all came within. But eventually, did you get into the association of devotees? I mean, you are now, so at some point...
First, the Vaishnava philosophy was revealed to me from within. Wow. And then I prayed that, according to all this, what I am already experiencing is limited.
Okay.
And then I prayed, and then it was revealed that I should be more humble, and I should desire the association of a spiritual master who can take me to the higher level. And then I was given the chance to meet a spiritual master.
So you came into the association of devotees. That's what I was looking for.
But by prayer, the revelations came from within brought me harmony with what the devotees are.
That happens sometimes. And I think I've talked to several devotees that had something like that take place. Every trajectory into devotional service is quite unique.
I could even envision Lord Chaitanya. Who is Lord Chaitanya? I didn't know the personal Chaitanya, but I could see that there is a form of the Lord that is coming in this era to preach.
Do you know why all this took place?
I can only say that personally...
Well, I can give you a clue, because you were doing something like this in your last life. And so, Abhyasena, you're taking up from where you left off.
Yeah, because small I started. When I was 13, I left home and I started looking for a guru. So why so early someone thinks like that? No?
Anyway, that's the understanding. You have a certain level of deposits in your devotional bank account, and Yata Sukriti, or somehow you were guided to take up this process. But ultimately, you ended up in bhakti, which is also the case with Dhruva Maharaj. And, he just didn't stay on the Ashtanga platform. Very quickly, he came to the level of bhakti yoga. So, what I think I'll do here is stop and read the translation and see if there's any questions at this point, or comments, or corrections. After sitting on your seat, practice the three kinds of breathing exercises, and thus gradually control the life air, the mind, and the senses. Completely free yourself from all material contamination, and with great patience, begin to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, microphone.
Thank you, Jim, last week. Very nice class. At the very end, you said he didn't just stick with the Ashtanga yoga process, but he made it to bhakti yoga. Since the Ashtanga yoga process of meditating on Vishnu, which is what Ashtanga yoga means, I don't know if we call it bhakti, but that's what the Prabhupada explained to Narada Muni, gave him the process of pure bhakti.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If that was the yuga dharma, it's kind of like...
Well, it's kind of, it seems to me like kind of a combined, specifically adjusted to Dhruva's situation, dharma, you know, that's given to him by Narada Muni. Of course, Narada Muni is Trikalagya, and he's pulling from here and there to assist sincere souls in their path back home to Godhead. But you know, Astanga Yoga per se isn't, you know, it's on the yoga ladder. Next step on the yoga ladder is bhakti. You know, that's the traditional presentation that's given. But you know, one thing is that Prabhupada, he offers, you know, throughout the presentation in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna is making to Arjuna of Karmakanda, then Karma Yoga, and Jnana Yoga, and Astanga Yoga. He's offering a free ticket on the express elevator of bhakti. So at any point, you know, a practitioner, just like Mataji, she could understand that there was something that she was lacking. So she got a ticket to take the express elevator and go right up to the 108th floor, like that. You know, it's because to go through the yoga ladder, usually it involves multiple lifetimes of practice, different yoga systems, you know, to come up to bhakti. So, if you notice in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's, injecting the express elevator at every step of the ladder. And why does he do that? He doesn't want people to get confused, first of all, and get, you know, there's a lot of, I'm surprised that you're the only one that raised your hand about Astanga Yoga. Maybe others of you were too shy, but it's a pretty common thing that in some form or other, you know, in Kali Yuga, people are induced, you know, to, you know, the marketing of different Hatha Yoga gurus or whatever to take up, you know, maybe a hybrid form, Kali Yuga adjustment of Astanga Yoga. And to some degree or another, people get involved with that. Mataji got heavily involved. So Prabhupada does this, you know, and he could understand that there's a lot of cheaters and cheated, you know, in Kali Yuga. So, you know, he makes it right from the very beginning quite clear that bhakti is the way to go. And so it seems, there seems to be a parallel in his description, you know, of Astanga Yoga being given pure bhakti. This is basically what Prabhupada does throughout, you know, the steps of the yoga ladder. You know, he pretty much describes karma yoga as bhakti. You know, the academicians don't. They call it karma yoga, and they go into this whole thing. They say that can deliver you to a real high level, but it's, I got kind of lost in the nipples and the goat of the neck, or the neck of the goat. And, but what that means is that the yoga, the different processes of self-realization are really bear no fruit, or very little fruit in Kali Yuga. Now, it may bring us up to a level of at least moda goodness, or some kind of purification, some awakening of a desire to reestablish our relationship with Krishna. So it may serve some purpose like that, because you'll see that a lot of devotees come from these kind of backgrounds, where they'll, you know, maybe have been practicing vegetarianism or some kind of yoga preliminarily to taking a bhakti. I don't know if I hit the nail exactly on the head, but I'm, you know, at least I didn't hit my thumb.
Thank you. As you were sharing that, then it came to me the answer to the question I was really trying to express, and that is, if you get God realization by these other processes in the previous ages, because they are the Yuga Dharma, then yeah. What makes bhakti, like in this example, is smart.
I'm sorry, over the pile driver, I missed a few points.
What made it bhakti or synonymous with bhakti so that one, so Dhruva could realize God?
And that may be a point, you know, because it's the Yuga Dharma for a previous age, that's the best they've got, and that's bhakti. That gets you to the highest level, you bhava and prema that way.
So as he performs his Ashtanga Yoga, then he becomes adept at smarana, which is one of the nine devotion.
Yeah.
Plus, in terms of the regulative principles, 64 principles, he's following the order of his guru, and the mercy becomes the smarana devotion.
But
bhakti is also the state of consciousness.
Say again?
He's doing what he's doing with devotion.
Yeah.
His breathing. He's got a goal to achieve.
He has a goal.
Yeah. And
of course, his goal isn't so pure initially. It's not until he gets touched down the head by the kansha that all the lights go on, and he realizes that he was very foolish, you know, to aspire for that, you know, the kingdom greater than Lord Brahma. But still in all, you know, the process that he seems to unpack, you know, as he progresses, isn't the Ashtanga Yoga that was traditionally presented. You know, because they don't do the deity worship. You know, that's something that comes with bhakti. That's when one graduates from jhana yoga to bhakti, and then the nam japa, it's not common. You know, it's just this focus on super soul. And then when there starts to be some reciprocation from super soul, then that's when the desire to enter into bhakti awakens. Huh? Well, that's, you know, I was trying to find it. There's a reference that I remember reading at one point where the limit of spiritual evolution that can take place through Ashtanga Yoga is Dasharas. I think. I couldn't find it before, but pretty sure. And I thought it was in connection in this fifth chapter of the 11th canto, but I couldn't find it. I didn't really have so much time to search. Other things came up. And then you compare and contrast that with the Yuga Dharma of Kali Yuga, where you go right up to the highest levels of God realization, you know, by the much more simple process, but it's definitely packed with its austerities. You know, Prabhupada, there's also an interesting, I think, relevant reference in the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, 31st text. And this is in the prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna in the womb. And there's a description about how the Acharya, because of his sincere surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, discovers the means for crossing the ferocious ocean of material existence. And he leaves that means behind for other practitioners to cross. We talked about that when we met. You were coming from the Ganga and I was going to the Ganga. And then Krishna accepts those means. And then an example that we were discussing the other day is that Prabhupada described that if we simply dedicated our lives to ISKCON, which is packed with austerities, then even though we're not completely perfect at the end, then Lord Chaitanya will personally come and take us back to Godhead. And I saw this with Shauri's and mine, Ataji's dear friend, Nirguna Prabhu. You know, he very dedicated to ISKCON. He stuck it out through thick and thin, and there was a lot of thin, particularly at the end of his life. But at the end of his life, you know, this miraculous, you know, transcendental development of how he understood his sarup, which is indicative of someone who's on the bhava platform, and he went back to Godhead. There was no question in anyone's mind in the room. It was so powerful. So, but to do that, you know, he went through you know, the some really heavy stuff, some real heavy Kali Yuga stuff within ISKCON to get there. And he stayed sincere and true blue to Prabhupada and Hare Krishna. And that wasn't the only, that's not the only example. There are many, many examples of devotees that stuck it out in ISKCON, pushed on the movement with heart and soul, even though they didn't seem to demonstrate such high levels of consciousness just prior to their departure. But then when the time came, our Chaitanya came and took them back to Godhead in a very glorious way. So this Yuga Dharma is easy, but then on the other hand, it's very difficult. And then Prabhupada makes the point that we should take example. This is later on in the chapter. I think it is also in purport of text 72. Prabhupada said we should use the example of Dhruva Maharaj, you know, with determination and sincerity, execute our responsibilities, you know, as devotees within this kind of, and then we'll get a similar result at the end. Tigache? Okay, any other points or questions? Yes. Read this. You have a question? No. Okay. Pandava Shaka. Oh, my old friend was at Mayapur Basi for many years. Pandava Shaka Prabhu, Kijai, accept my humble obeisances. Which age the Astanga Yoga was Yuga Dharma? That's Satya Yuga. Satya Yuga for Astanga Yoga for Satya Yuga, and then Treta Yuga. Sacrifices, yagyas, and then Dwapara Yuga, deity worship, and then Kali Yuga, Hare Krishna. Okay, so any other questions or points? Mataji? Microphone? Your sadhana Mataji?
Krishna? You can hear me?
Not on.
Yeah, it's on.
What's that? Not very well. You sure it's in?
Yeah. I have two questions. You sort of covered the second one. I'll ask the second question first.
Can you put it right on your lips?
You spoke about Dhruva Maharaj's... Huh? Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah.
You spoke about Dhruva Maharaj's austerities, and then you spoke about one of your friends who did a fruit fast for 9 months.
Yeah.
Just now you said the austerity is to just stay within ISKCON.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sometimes doing these fasts can be beneficial for your health and for your spiritual life?
Yeah. Well, they're kind of like, it's a little bit like Vanashram. They're not angas of bhakti per se, you know, some of these kind of things. Or just doing, you know, there are a lot of devotees that practice Hatha Yoga, which is, you know, the asana part of Astanga Yoga. But they do that for their health. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Chaitanya Shikshamrita that there are five factors that have to be in place prior to liberation for a devotee to make spiritual advancement. One is that he has to be in good health, okay? So, whether that produces good health, going on a juice fast for 9 months or not, I don't know, but he does this for whatever the reasons. And also, he should be intellectually nourished. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a point to fulfill that requirement, one should regularly study Shastra. And then, one should be in a socially acceptable situation. In other words, if one is a social outcast, there's a lot of mental disturbance that is involved for that kind of situation. Adequate peace of mind isn't there, you know, to make spiritual advancement. And then the last, number four, is that one has to be in a reasonable situation economically. financially. If one is in abject poverty, also makes spiritual advancement difficult. But these are basically kind of the props coming from Vanashram. And we can't artificially reject Vanashram and just, you know, in an avadut-like way, renounce everything and, you know, just go to the forest and chant Hare Krishna. That was something that was commonly done, you know, after Lord Chaitanya, 350 years, people would go and they'd go to Vrindavan and renounce Mityachara, and they would fall down. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his life was a testimony of Vanashram. You know, he had 11 children, and he also worked as a high court magistrate, very pukka judge, and he, but his life was predominated by Navavidhi Bhakti, the nine processes of devotional service. And, you know, with wife and family and profession, to make it predominant, he stayed up all night long writing books. And, chanted 64 rounds, and his wife also chanted 1 lakh of Hare Krishna mantra per day. So the whole family was immersed in Shuddha Bhakti. So we need these, you know, like we have, Prabhupada gave us the formulas that we need to go back to Godhead. We have Brahmacharya Ashram, we have Grihastha Ashram. Vanaprast isn't so developed yet in ISKCON, but it's getting there. We have Sannyasa Ashram. And, you know, at first, he didn't emphasize very much Vanashram. But in 1974, when there was a wave of fall downs of leading and senior disciples, then he shifted gears in a very profound way. Indicated that this is a big part of his mission. So, by performing our Swadharma conscientiously, we get knowledge, we become realized. This is what takes place, because there's the Swadharmic offerings, even though sometimes a little bit indirect, it's still an offering to the Supreme Lord. So we get benefit from that, and there's an awakening of transcendental knowledge. Even in activities which may not be within the 64 angas of Vaidhisadhana Bhakti, but if they're within our Swadharma. Like if we're a dutiful mother or a dutiful father, we provide adequate accommodations and finances, Shadam or whatever, you know, we get, this is noticed by Krishna, and he frees us from bodily consciousness. Brings us to a higher level of realization and gives us more qualification for practicing Navavidhi Bhakti.
Thank you. My second question.
Nice and loud for a deaf old man.
You spoke about, the spiritual master helps the disciple know his service to Krishna.
Say again.
The spiritual master helps the disciple knowing his service to Krishna.
Yeah. So to understand what his service is to Krishna.
Yes.
Both short term in getting to the sadhya or the perfection, and also ultimately his eternal service. Yeah.
So my question is it like a natural thing that happens between the spiritual master and the disciple, or does the disciple have to endeavor to make some more inquiries personally to the spiritual master?
Well, the spiritual master has to be qualified, and the disciple has to be qualified, and you know, it's an ongoing evolution of of revelation, you know, that takes place for the disciple, and then as the disciple advances, then the situation changes and the spiritual master adjusts instructions, you know, to the disciple accordingly. You know, it's a dynamic relationship. It's not static, it keeps going. And so then the bona fide spiritual master needs to have the adhikara to, you know, take the disciple right to Krishna, you know, and bring him up to the highest levels of God consciousness. It doesn't stop. You know, and that relationship with the spiritual master is eternal. It's exactly how it works in the spiritual world. You know, I'm not exactly sure. Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.